Welcome to Classical 95.9 WCRI's Conducting Conversations with your host, Mike Maino. 1 hour of music and conversation with notable people in the arts, bringing you the stories of how music has impacted their lives. The show will give a behind-the-scenes look at the guest's background, interests, or special project.
Conducting Conversations is brought to you by Roberts Musical Instruments, from sheet music and brand name instruments to rentals, repairs, lessons, and more. Roberts Musical Instruments is your key to musical success. Call 823-5459. That's 823-5459.
And now here's your host, Mike Maino.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Conducting Conversations. Tonight, it is a pleasure to welcome back to our beautiful studios here in beautiful downtown Exeter, the one and only, the incredibly talented and somewhat famous, Christopher Simpson is here from the Contemporary Theater Company. Welcome back, Chris.
It's a pleasure to be here, Mike. Thanks for having me on the show again.
Nice to have you with us. It's been a while. A lot of things have been happening at the Contemporary Theater Company. And for the three or four people that are out there that maybe have not heard of your theater or haven't been there because they could be out of state or they could have just moved here or something, why don't we bring them up to date a little bit? It's located in beautiful downtown Wakefield, right?
That's absolutely right. The Contemporary Theater Company, we've been around. We're just finishing up now our 10th season in Southern Rhode Island. We started in 2005 and have been performing ever since. We are a semi-professional company. We are led by a full-time staff and a number of local actors who work both part-time and full-time in the arts who work with us. And we've been producing for 10 years, as I mentioned. We're coming up on our 70th show in the near future. And we're now located in the heart of downtown Wakefield, historic Wakefield, at 327 Main Street. And as part of the exciting news you were talking about, we also now own the building at 321 Main Street behind the theater, which is going to be outdoor performance space by the river, the Saugatucket River in Wakefield, as well as production space and community space and some artist residences as well. So we're right there in Wakefield at the heart of it all.
There you go. And if you haven't, you know, some people in Rhode Island particularly or southeastern Connecticut, sometimes they stay a little, you know, they're a little provincial. They stay in their own little towns. But Wakefield is a great place to go and visit. It doesn't have to be summertime. This is a year-round venture for you, right?
That's right. We have shows every weekend all year long. We produce somewhere between 6 and 8 main stage shows over the course of the year. The main stage shows, of course, the fully produced scripted plays that take anywhere from 3 to 6 weekends of our season. They play Thursdays, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday at 7 p.m. 7 p.m. in the summer on the Sunday shows, but we do matinees on the Sundays from September through May. And those shows take up about 30 weekends a year, but then we also have guest groups from other parts of the country who come in. In fact, just this fall, we have some shows from a traveling duo from Kansas City, and we also have an improv group, one of the world's foremost groups, Parallelogram, a phonograph, coming up from Austin, Texas for a weekend. So we have all kinds of touring things like that. And then we have our Friday night improv show, which just won Best Of from the Providence Monthly Magazine, Best in Rhode Island improv show on Friday nights at 9:30. We have family shows Saturday mornings at 10:30, and lots of other events that are produced for and by the South County community on an annual basis all year long.
Wow. Now, as artistic director, which I believe is your title, are you ultimately responsible for picking all these events, or do you have a team of people?
There's a great team of people involved, of course. We have 4 full-time staff, Maggie, Katie. We're just transitioning now. Marissa Dufault, who's been our managing director for many years, is moving into a fully artistic position, and we're bringing on Tim Mahoney to work with us. We have Brendan Kelly, our box office manager and facilities director. And then we have lots of great part-time employees and lots of volunteers, dozens of really tremendous volunteers who make the company happen, and our board and everybody involved. They all have input and ideas, and things are always coming at us. Great insights and ideas from all directions. But fundamentally, as artistic director, my job is to take all that information, run it through our various processes, I guess, mm-hmm. and set that schedule. And we plan our main stage season anywhere from 8 to 16 months in advance. We actually are right now settling on the last details of next autumn and next Christmas 2016, getting all those things lined up. And then the smaller events, the one-time things, the guests, we schedule anywhere from a month to 10 months out, depending on the date and the nature of the show.
Right. You mentioned semi-professional, and there are four or five semi-professional theaters throughout the state, and
right. I mean, it's a nebulous term. There's only one, only two very clear distinctions in this industry, at least in southern New England that we talk about. There are the full-time professional equity theaters, the people who are actors union, and full-time actors who make their entire living solely off of being performers. There's not very many of those in the state. We could talk about that some other time. And then there's the full community, absolutely unpaid, all volunteer organizations. They do tremendous work. There's a lot of great things being produced all over the state in very small venues and very large venues by these organizations, and they're very important. And then there's everybody in between, and there's a lot of theaters you've heard of and a lot that you haven't who fall into this sort of semi-professional category. It's an unofficial term, but what we mean by that is that we have a full-time artistic and executive staff that are paid professionals who produce the company and the shows, and we have actors who receive stipends. They receive, depending on how you think of it, gas money, beer money, or an honorarium for their work. And that's real. That's a significant amount that they make, but it's also not, and it will never be probably a livable wage for them for the work they do. Because you know, part of our mission is to provide opportunities for people who maybe are a full-time lawyer, or they work at the liquor store downtown in Providence. We have an actor who's always being recognized from his day job at one of the local establishments downtown. And they want to remain active in their artistic lives and in their creative pursuits. And we give them enough compensation that they can afford to do so, but they'll always have other careers that keep them moving.
All right, great. Well, you have a tremendous brochure that is out that explains everything that's happening in the season. And I'm looking at one that has, you know, like 40 different things on it. There's a lot of stuff going on there. We don't have time to talk about it right at this moment. But one of the things right in the center is Sweeney Todd.
Yeah, we're very excited. We try to do a major musical every 2 years or so. We did last 5 years back in 2011, I guess it was, with Erica Van Pelt and Matt Royalty Lindman. That was Jason Robert Brown's last 5 years. We did Assassins, which was directed by Jimmy Calitri, who a lot of folks know. That was in 2013 in the fall slot, which is when we do a big show every year. And coming up this fall, October and November 2015, Sweeney Todd by Stephen Sondheim. I'll be directing that. We have a great team working on it. The music direction is by Gene, Max, and Carpenter, and it's going to be a really tremendous show. We're just finishing up casting. I can't make any announcements yet. If we were 2 or 3 days from now, I could make a sneak preview of the cast, but it's going to be impressive, and it's going right. to be wonderful.
I still have a chance for my phone to ring.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You're in contention for the judge. Yeah.
Let's get in the mood for Sweeney Todd with something from the original cast recording.
Sure. The first thing we're going to listen to here is the prelude sung by the ensemble. It opens the show. All of the members of the cast will be heard in this. And this is, like you said, from the original cast recording. So here we go.
They went to the maker impeccably shaved. By Sweeney Todd, the demon barber of Fleet Street.
Sweeney, hold it to the sky. Freely flows the blood of those who must die.
fancy chair. A mug of suds and a leather strap, an apron, a towel, a pail, and a mop.
For neatness he deserved a nod. It's really Todd.
The demon bar of Fleet Street.
Was back with his fun, under his word, Sweeney heard music that nobody heard. Sweeney bothered and Sweeney fell like a perfect machine.
Sweeney was smooth, Sweeney was subtle, Sweeney would blink and rats would scuttle. Sweeney was 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 Sweeney
was Sweeney was Sweeney was Sweeney was Sweeney was Sweeney was Sweeney was Sweeney was Sweeney was Sweeney was
Sweeney was Sweeney was Sweeney was Sweeney was Sweeney was Sweeney was Sweeney was Sweeney was Sweeney was Sweeney was Sweeney
was Sweeney was Sweeney was Sweeney was Sweeney was Sweeney was Sweeney was Sweeney was Sweeney was Sweeney was Sweeney
was Sweeney was Sweeney was Sweeney was Sweeney was Sweeney was Sweeney was Sweeney was Sweeney was Sweeney was Sweeney was Sweeney was Sweeney was Sweeney was Sweeney was Sweeney was Sweeney was Sweeney was Sweeney was Sweeney was Sweeney was Sweeney was Sweeney was Sweeney was Sweeney was Sweeney was Sweeney was Sweeney was Sweeney was Sweeney was Sweeney was Sweeney was Sweeney was Sweeney was Sweeney was Sweeney was Sweeney was Sweeney was Sweeney was Sweeney was Sweeney was Sweeney was Sweeney was Sweeney was Sweeney was Sweeney was Sweeney was Sweeney was Sweeney was Sweeney was Sweeney was Sweeney was Sweeney was Sweeney was Sweeney was Sweeney was Sweeney was Sweeney was Sweeney was Sweeney was Sweeney was Sweeney was Sweeney was Sweeney was Sweeney was Sweeney was Sweeney was
So Sweeney Todd coming to the Contemporary Theater Company. It's going to be October 16th, 17th, 24th, 30th, 31st, into November 5th, 6th, 7th, 12th, 13th, 14th at 7 p.m. and November 1st and 8th at 2 p.m. So
write that down, everybody.
Everybody,
that's
write
the only
that
time
down.
You're going to hear it. So
the
we hope
other,
you
the
got
way,
that.
The other way to obviously check that all out is to go to the website, which is
ContemporaryTheaterCompany.com. We're also very active on Facebook, and we have an Instagram for all the young followers out there. Lots of good ways you can follow us. You can also stop by the theater. We have we are down there on Main Street every day, not Mondays, but Tuesday through Saturday. We're down there during business hours, so you can stop in and pick up a brochure, have a conversation about what's coming up, see the space. It's a beautiful, intimate...
Actually buy the tickets, right?
You especially buy the tickets. That's
especially
the most important
the
thing.
Or make a donation.
there's a lot of ways you can get involved. That's right. And a lot of great reasons to stop by the theater. We're down there every day. And yeah, it's great. If you've never been, the thing that I think makes our theater most distinctive in the state is the intimacy. You're never more than six rows from the action. That doesn't mean that we're there's no splash zone at the theater. We still are respectful of the audience, but they're very close, very intimate. Things that you can't do in a large theater in terms of subtlety or nuance, and also the way that the seating is set up, it almost wraps around the stage. So you're really, if the actor is at the what we call the downstage edge of the performance space, really as close to the audience as possible, they have audience on their left, right, and in front of them, and even slightly behind them on the left and right. So when we're staging in there, directors love it because you can actually create moments that have one resonance for the left side of the audience and an entirely different vantage and an entirely different interpretation for the right side, and it creates a very personalized sense of being at the theater. The action seems to be happening just for you in whatever seat you're in, and that's one of the greatest strengths of our theater. It helps that the seats are comfortable, that it's air conditioned, that we have a bar. All of these things are great, but really, it's the unique stagings that we're able to do, and that our entire artistic team has become extremely adept at. The lighting designers work to make sure that the vantage is equally unique and equally impressive, but also distinctive depending on where in the audience that you sit. And I think that's a really cool thing about who we are.
That sounds great. And for some people that don't want to go down to Wakefield to get tickets, so they can call also.
That's right. Number. We have a box office number. I'll say it a couple of times, but it's 401-218-0282. Again, 218-0282, which actually, if you're on a touch-tone phone, is 218-0-CTC for those of you paying attention at home.
And if you have a rotary phone, you probably should just stay home.
If you have a rotary phone, we'd still love to see you at the show, but yeah, it's going to be harder for you to make the call.
Yeah, there you go. All right, let's get back to one of the things you mentioned earlier, which was an expansion of the building and buying a new building. You said behind, but they both have a Main Street address, so how does that work?
Oh, well, like all of the villages in Rhode Island, Wakefield was built back before cars and roads all made the same kind of planning decisions necessary. vernacular that we all use today. So there are three buildings in a row going back from Main Street. There's Phil's Main Street Grill, which is a very popular restaurant. They have an outdoor deck on the roof of one of their buildings, so you can sit above Main Street and enjoy a meal and a drink. It's a great place to get a dinner or a drink before or after the show. Then behind that, and you can see it from the street, but it's set back a little bit, is 327 Main Street. That's our building. That's the it's just over 1,800 square feet, and we have the 110-seat theater in 327 Main Street. Then set back further from that, just in a straight line back from the road, is 321 Main Street. It's a building that was built as a health clinic back in the early 80s. Then it became a doctor's office, a private practice, eventually was converted to that doctor's home. It sits right on the river, the room that we're calling sort of the boardroom, the used to be a waiting room for the doctor's office that we're renovating into a community space, is 7 feet from the river. The water is right outside the window. It's gorgeous. People don't realize what an asset the Saugatuck River is to Wakefield. It's not developed along its whole length, although there are places where it is. But so it's very natural. There's an otter who comes and visits the theater now once a week. And there's all kinds of wildlife, and the river is beautiful. They do river fires down on the actual water every Thursday night in the summer. So it's a gorgeous asset for Wakefield that the town is slowly waking up to and realizing is right behind here. And our expansion is part of that. So in addition to the building, which has that community room that we're working on, that we'll have events in hopefully as early as next spring, there's also a 2,200 square foot performance patio that we're putting in. There was a substantial donation from a local philanthropist that allowed us to do it, and a matching campaign where the community around us in the span of just 5 weeks raised $35,000 to match the philanthropist. So we had the ability to the design and the installation of this beautiful, it's not done yet, of course, it's under construction, but this beautiful performance space. It's got a small stage. It's all stone pavers right by the water, so we can have outdoor music events, theater events, and community events, all, you know, three seasons. And we're really tremendously excited. That'll be opening in September, and it's going to completely revolutionize the way that we provide entertainment possibilities for the community down here.
Excellent. A lot of stuff happening. Let's get to one more piece of music before we take our first break, and this one is called No Place Like London, I believe?
That's right. It's from early in the show of Sweeney Todd. This is, again, the Broadway cast recording, our production coming up in October. We haven't recorded that yet, but we will be, I'm sure, at some point. But this features, from the original cast, Len Carew, Victor Garber, and Merle Louise, three people singing. It's one of the first songs in the show.
We will listen to that and take a short break and be back with more of the Christopher Simpson Show.
There's no place like London. I feel home again. I could hear the city bells ring, whatever I would do. No, there's no place like London.
Mr. Todd,
you are young. Life has been kind to you. You will learn. So, Anthony, it is here we go our several ways. Farewell. I shall not soon forget the good ship Bountiful, nor the young man who saved my life.
Around the bush, wouldn't you like to push me crumpet? It looks to me, dear, like you got plenty there to push. Arms, arms, for a pitiful.
you glare at me, woman? Off with you, off, I say!
Then how would you like to fish me, Squiff? Mr. Will go jig jiggle!
Off, I said! To the devil with you!
Pardon me, sir, but there's no need to fear the likes of her. She was only a half-crazed beggar woman. London's full of them.
There's a hole in the world like a great black pit, and the vermin of the world inhabit it, and its morals aren't worth what a pig could spit, and it goes by the name of London. At the top of the hole sit the privileged few, making mock of the vermin in the lower zoo, turning beauty into filth and greed. I, too, have sailed the world and seen its wonders, for the cruelty of men is as wondrous as Peru, but there's no place like London.
Welcome back to Conducting Conversations. I'm Mike Maino, and sitting with Chris Simpson, who is the artistic director of the Contemporary Theater Company in beautiful downtown Wakefield, and we've been talking a lot about things that are new and an expansion that is happening at the theater. And Chris, I've also mentioned at the top of the show that you have quite a brochure with lots of many things going on, seems like all the time. Fill us in a little bit more about that.
Sure. Well, right now, this is, of course, playing on a Sunday, so we're in the middle of August here. We're finishing up our 5-weekend run of black comedy. We got 1 weekend left as of the time that this airs. It's been a tremendous summer farce. Every year we do a farce in the middle of the summer for the visiting community, the summer residents, and the locals to come out and enjoy a night that's just pure laughter. It's an extremely enjoyable time. So Black Comedy by Peter Schaffers has 3 shows left. And, you know, in the past, we've done Noises Off in this slot. We've done A Flea in Her Ear. We have Rumors by Neil Simon coming up next year. So some really, it's just real classic stuff like that. Then we always have a show that August leads us back into September. We have the 1-hour theater challenge this year. We did a little bit of that in June and July, and it comes back for an extended run. It's a project where we have had 25 local writers engaged in creating short pieces. We're calling them micro theater, little satisfying plays that are anywhere from 1 to 6 minutes long. And the cast is challenged, of course.
A 1-minute play.
You would be amazed. And what I think is interesting, it's not just skits and sketches or improv. They're not. Some of them are quite funny. Some of them are a little serious or in other ways artistically engaging. But it's like a mini play festival. And the cast has 1 hour to perform them all. That's why the 1-hour theater challenge is the name. If they fail, the audience gets to elect an audience member to come up and spray them all with a squirt gun as punishment for their failure. It's a really fun, lively summertime with some really great local work and local playwrights featured. That's a really exciting thing. Then we have Kevin Broccoli, artistic director of Epic Theater Company, based out of Cranston, is performing a 1-man show, Buyer and Seller, that's happening in September. It's about Barbara Streisand has a mall/museum in her basement with 1 employee, and it's that man's story. If that sounds exciting to you, you wouldn't want to miss this show. If that doesn't excite you, then this show might not be for you, because it is all about Barbara Streisand's basement, which appeals to a lot of folks, and I think it's going to be a really satisfying show.
I'd be interested myself.
Yeah, so I really highly recommend that. Kevin, if you don't know him, is one of the linchpins in the Rhode Island theater scene. He's a workhorse. He's always writing, directing, and producing all kinds of great works for a number of theaters in the state, and we're proud to have him as one of our company members, and we're excited for that. And then, of course, Sweeney Todd comes up in October and plays into November. It's a tremendous show. Sondheim, of course, is one of the great geniuses of the last century and still writing today, and is we're very lucky to be doing our second Sondheim musical after Assassins in 2013, and we can't wait to show everybody the ideas we have for producing this one.
All right. Well, why don't we get to another one of those Sondheim pieces? This is called Worst Pies in London.
That's right. You'll hear Angela Lansbury, who originated the role of Mrs. Lovett. She's going to be...
Murder, She Wrote.
That's right, Murder, She Wrote, right just before Murder, She Wrote in 1979, I think the cast recording is from. Mm-hmm. Worst Pies in London, Angela Lansbury.
A customer! What?
what's your rush, what's your hurry? You gave me such a fright, I thought you was a ghost. Half a minute, can't you sit, sit you down, sit? All I meant is that I haven't seen a customer for weeks. Did you come in for a pie, sir? Do forgive me if me head's a little fake. Ugh, what is that? But you think we had the plague? From the way that people keep affording, no you don't. Heaven knows I try, sir. But there's no one comes in even to inhale. Right you are, sir, would you like a drop of ale? Mind you, I can't hardly blame them. These are probably the worst pies in London. I know why nobody cares to take them. I should know, I make them. But good now, the worst pies in London. Even that's polite, the worst pies in London. If you doubt it, take a bite. Just disgusting, you have to concede it. It's nothing but crusting. You drink this, you'll need it. The worst pies in London. And no wonder with the price of meat what it is. When you get it, never thought I'd live to see the day. Men would think it was a treat, finding poor animals what are dying in the street. Mrs. Mooney has a pie shop, does a business, but I've noticed something weird. All the neighbours' cats have disappeared. Have to hand it to her, what I call enterprise. Popping pussies into pies wouldn't do in my shop. Just the thought of it's enough to make you sick. And I'm telling you, them pussy cats is quick. Now denying times is hard, sir. Even harder than the worst pies in London. Only lard and nothing more is than just revolting. All greasy and gritty, it looks like it's melting and tastes like, well, pity a woman alone with limited wind and the worst pies in London. Ah, sir, times is hard, times is hard.
Angela Lansbury and Sweeney Todd's cast recording, and then after Sweeney Todd comes the holiday season.
That's right, and we have a new work by our playwright-in-residence, Andy Hoover. The show is called Planet Christmas. It's a really exciting story. It's still in development, of course, but it follows several parallel stories, all taking place in the same small New England village on the water, visiting Christmases of different eras, I guess, going back to the founding, the settling here in the 1600s. A couple of things from the early part of this century, the 20th century, and then some contemporary stories and a little bit in the future as well. It's a really great piece. It's got some comedic and also some very sweet tones for the holidays. He's written for us before our productions of Composition in 2011 and of Set and Drift in 2007, as well as our Gift of the Magi in 2009. Those are all pieces that Andy wrote for us before he was in residence here, when he was just a company member and collaborator. But now he's here teaching some playwriting classes, writing two shows for us, working with the family shows. He's doing actually just a great deal for us while he's here. And Planet Christmas is going to be the big first big showpiece of his time, of his stay in Southern Rhode Island.
Unfortunately for our audience, this isn't television, because if it was, they would have been very impressed that you're doing all this without any notes and you remember all those dates, or are you just making them up at random?
Yeah, well, I'm artistic director, so whatever I say on air becomes the truth. No, I enjoy what I do very much, and I spend a lot of time thinking about it, talking about it, creating it, so... there's a lot of passion, not just from me, but from all the members of our company, that makes us, I think, one of the most vibrant companies in the state. And I think that if that passion's coming through to you right
yes,
now, that's
it is.
Great. But
yeah.
It's also, I think it comes through in the shows and at the theater.
Great. Let's listen to one more Sweeney Todd piece before we take our next break. And this one is about friends.
Yes, it's my friends, Len Carew, who originated the role, and Angela Lansbury, again, originated the role of Sweeney Todd. He has been exiled from his home. He was a barber in London on Fleet Street, which is sort of a seedy district. And his wife is coveted by a judge who gets Sweeney exiled, basically. And he's in Australia for 15 years, and he comes home to try to, you know, put everything back to right. And this is the moment where he finds his implements, his barber tools, his razors and whatnot, have been preserved stainless silver, and they've been preserved by Angela Lansbury's character, Mrs. Lovett, and he's rediscovering his friends, his tools, with whom he intends to set everything to rights.
A little different spin on friends.
Yes, but okay. You know, it asks an interesting question about loyalty. Like, where do you find loyalty in this world? Inanimate objects, I think, is Sweeney Todd's answer, which is an interesting character discovery.
After that, we will be back with more of the Contemporary Theater Company.
My, them angels is chase silver, ain't they?
Silver, yes. These are my friends. See how they glisten. This one shine, how he smiles in the light, my friend, my faithful friend. Speak to me, friend, whisper, I'll listen. I know you've been locked out of sight all these years. Like me, my friend, well, I've come home to find you waiting. Home, and we're together, and we'll do wonders. Won't we? You there, my friend.
Come, ooh,
let
Mr.
me
Todd.
Hold you.
If you only knew,
now,
Mr.
With
Todd.
A sigh,
ooh, Mr. Todd,
you grow
you're
warm in my hand, my friend,
you come home.
My clever friend.
I always had a fondness for you, I did.
Rest now, my friend.
Never you
soon
fear, Mr.
I'll
Todd.
Unfold.
You can move in here, Mr. Todd.
No splendors you
never have dreamed all your days.
We'll be my lucky friend.
I'm your friend.
Till now your
shine
was merely silver.
Silver's good enough for
friends,
me, Mr.
You shall drip rubies. You'll soon drip precious. At last, my arm is complete again.
Welcome back to Conducting Conversations. I'm Mike Maino, having a very pleasant evening sitting with Chris Simpson, the artistic director of the Contemporary Theater Company in beautiful downtown Wakefield. And Chris has been talking about all kinds of things going on at the theater. One of the things you mentioned was something about playwriting. And is there the classes also that go on at the theater?
That's right. Yeah. Our playwright in residence, Andy Hoover, will be teaching a playwriting class this fall, which is a first time offering for us. But we have a whole educational slate. In addition to the main stage shows, the family show and the improv that I talked about, we have a variety of types of classes that people can get involved with what we do. We keep all the prices extremely affordable. You can check our website for all the details, contemporarytheatercompany.com. But we have, first of all, we have the playwriting class that Andy's teaching this fall. I also teach a directing class, usually in the spring. It's an 8 or 10 week course. We're going to be doing a 6 week version of that as well this fall for people who are interested in the fundamentals, basically, of stage directing.
Let's stop there. Okay, and a directing class. How many opportunities are there going to be for these people to direct something once they take your class?
Oh, what a good question. There's lots of opportunities to direct. At our company, of course, we're always looking for people to be involved in things like the family shows and the and the smaller productions. But we also, many of the people who have directed our main stage shows have either come through our classes or through our system and have become directors that way, or they've been working in parallel somewhere else as well and developing that skill set. We also have a thing called the springboard season. In January, February, and March, we have 10 weeks that we set aside for new proposals from new members of our community, artistic, you know, people who are connected to the theater already, but also people who we have not met yet. In the actually upcoming in September, there's a call for proposals. People send in just like a little written description of what they want to do. We've had radio shows, we've had adaptations of children's books, we've had full productions of pared down, but you know, full length mm-hmm. productions of, mm-hmm. of published scripts, readings of new works, poetry series, music series, a cabaret, wow. anything people are interested in creating. We use our stage for those 10 weeks to perform those things. Usually there's anywhere from 12 to 15 projects accepted by people of all walks of life, professional artists.
So I could put in a proposal for an a cappella show.
I hope that you do. That would be great, yeah. And it's especially for people to try out new ideas. It's called the springboard season because you have this idea and you need a launch pad to get that going, and that's kind of what we do. So that's what that season is for, and new directors are always proposing projects at that. And that's a great way forward. So that's something that we're really proud of that we do that I don't think many organizations around here are
I have not heard of that before, so there you go.
So the springboard season. So anyway, the playwriting and directing classes. And then we also have acting classes. We have a class called the Young Actors Studio, which is on Monday nights, taught by two of our ensemble members, longtime ensemble members, Ashley McAmo and Steve Strenio. That's a Monday night class for 14 to 18-year-olds, really high school students. Hmm. We have a class called Creative Drama, which takes place in the afternoon after school at 3 o'clock, I think, on Wednesdays or Thursdays this fall. And that's for 11 to 13-year-olds. And on Saturday mornings, we have the Saturday Morning Drama Club. It's 11:30 to 1 o'clock, taught by Maggie Papa and Ari Kasabian. And that's also members of our longtime members of our company. And that's for 8 to 10-year-olds. And it's a sort of a little production workshop for aspiring young actors, the Saturday Morning Drama Club. So all of those. And then we have our Improv 101, which I recommend as a class to literally anyone who has human interactions in their lives. They don't have to want to be on stage one day. They don't need to want to be a performer or any of these things.
So this will cover pretty much everybody.
The class we're teaching right now, we have an 11-year-old and we have a woman in her mid-80s and we have 12 other students in between age-wise. We have professional actors who take it, full-time company members of ours, rank amateurs, regular audience members. We've had people who are professionals, people who are contractors, people who are unemployed, people who will never be employed, people who are retired, and everything in between. It's a really tremendous class. There is a little performance angle to it, of course, because it's an improv class, but really it teaches you about basic connection, basic listening. If you're familiar with the sort of cult of yes and that's really been promulgated by Tina Fey in recent years, it's a tremendous skill set. We do it slightly differently, but it's the same idea. If you can learn to listen on stage in that environment to the things going around you and build positively with the people who are in that immediate pressure-filled environment with you, you can do anything. And the way we do it is very fun. It's very relaxed. People with tremendous stage fright have come into this class and emerged more confident and excited than ever.
That's a life lesson.
This is the best class I've ever been involved in. Mm-hmm. I think the Improv 101 that we teach is one of the most transformative and positive things I've ever been involved with. It's a really great program. I'm very proud of it.
Very cool, very cool. Let's get to one more piece of Sweeney Todd music, and then we'll come back and wrap it up. There's unfortunately, there's hours and hours worth of discussion we could have about everything going on at the company. So I guess you'll have to come back and do another show.
All right.
Let's get to this next piece called Pretty Women.
Yes, Pretty Women, originally performed in the Broadway cast recording we're going to listen to by Sweeney, Len Carew, and Edmund Lindeck and Victor Garber. It's the scene where the judge who stole Sweeney's wife 15 years ago and really perpetrated this tremendous crime against him has come to his barber shop to be shaved, to be prepared for his date with a young woman. And in this really weird moment, they actually share this song of synchronicity, of complicity on how they feel about women in the world. And it's a really interesting moment, how we're going to handle it in the production, I'm really excited about. But it's these two rich, low voices, these two diametrically opposed characters sharing this whimsical song. It's a really interesting thing, as you'll hear. So, Pretty Women from Sweeney Todd.
All right.
And what may I do for you, sir? A stylish trimming of the hair? A soothing skin massage?
You see, sir, a man infatuate with love, her ardent and eager slave. So fetch the pomade and pomace stone and lend me a more seductive tone, a sprinkling perhaps of French cologne. But first, sir, I think a shave.
The closest I ever gave.
You're in a merry mood today, Mr. Todd.
'Tis your delights are catching fire from one man to the next.
'Tis true, sir, love can still inspire the blood to pound the heartly pyre. What more
can man require
than love, sir?
More than love, sir.
What, sir?
Women.
Ah, yes, women.
Pretty women.
And if we wed, you'll be commended, sir.
My lord. And who may it be said is your intended, sir? My ward.
And pretty as a rosebud.
Pretty as her mother?
What? What was that?
Oh, nothing, sir. Nothing. Nothing. May we proceed? Pretty women. Fascinating, sipping coffee, dancing, pretty women are a wonder, pretty women, sitting in the within you,
glancing,
stay forever,
breathing lightly,
pretty women, pretty women, blowing out
blowing
their,
out their
candles, combing out
combing
their hair,
even when
they're watching how they make a man sing. Proof of heaven as you're living. Pretty women, sir. Pretty women,
yes.
Pretty women, pretty women, pretty women,
sir. Well, Chris, as I mentioned, we could go on and on and on. I'm sure you have many more hours worth of things you could talk about as far as the theater is concerned. But we don't have time. So I just want to thank you for coming in tonight. And you've been a great guest. We have one more piece of music, but before we get to that, I want to make sure you have everything you want to say about the contemporary theater has been said.
Like you said, there's hours worth of material we could talk about. We're always doing new things to create opportunities for the members of our community to create and experience live performances. One of the most important ways people can get involved in what we do is by seeing a show. People always ask, what can I do to help? You know, do you need donations? Do you need people to sign up for memberships, sponsorships,
volunteer? Well, let's stop right there. Donations?
And the answer to all of those questions is yes, we need all of those things. We're a nonprofit. All of your donations are tax deductible. That's a huge part of how we've expanded and how we we've just succeeded over the last 10 years. Is
can they donate online?
They can donate online. They can visit contemporarytheatercompany.com. They can call the box office. They can stop in. There's lots of ways that people support us in that form. Membership is a great, great program we have. You end up with tickets to 5 main stage shows, our Masquerade Gala at the Towers in Narragansett, which is coming up on October 23rd, as well as a sampling of the improv shows, the family shows, the springboard season that we mentioned. All of these things are in a package, along with a bumper sticker magnet for the theater and a sweatshirt. It's a really great package. You save about 40% by purchasing all of those things through a membership. So you get all of those events for a year for a significant discount. And it supports the theater because you're committing, of course, to come see those things, and also because we benefit from having the payment for all of those up front. And it gets you involved in the community. It gets you special invitations and special connections to what we're doing. So you benefit and we benefit, and it supports the work that we do. And that's the single greatest thing you can do is to become a member. But if you've never been before, check out a show. We guarantee you'll be satisfied at what you see at the theater. Come down to Main Street on Wakefield, cross the Cranston-Dixon line if you're from the northern part of the state. We'd love to see you. It's not as far as you think it is. And it's a great venue, a great company. We're very proud of all of it. And we hope people will come check it out. That's what we're making
it for.
Or come
up from the south. Come up from Westerly. Come up from New London.
We get a lot of audience members who come up from southeastern Connecticut, the Westerly area.
Great.
It's a really easy place to get to, Wakefield. We're right on Route 1, so if you're coming from the north or south, there's easy ways to get to us in Main Street, Wakefield. And we're very proud of what we're doing. The theater, the community surrounding it, the space surrounding it now with the outdoor expansion, all of the businesses of Wakefield and South Kingstown and South County at large have been so supportive and so involved. And it's a great thing to have live performances. You know, it's the modern world, the digital age, smartphones, the internet, and all the rest. But there's something that is never going to fade. There's something enduring about live performance, about experiencing people right in front of you, close to you, creating something, and that special moment that it never existed before and will never exist again. I think that's something that has staying power, and the Contemporary Theater Company, we're all about that. So,
excellent.
Yeah, you've got to come out and see us. Mention this interview when you come to the box office. We have a 10% discount for anyone who heard this Conducting Conversations when you come to see Black Comedy or the 1 Hour Theater Challenge. So come out this summer and mention that you saw us here or heard us here, and we'll be happy to say thank you for listening, not only to what we have to say, but to everything Mike does here on Conducting Conversations in 95.9. We appreciate all of it.
Excellent. All right. We're going to wrap up with one more piece from Sweeney Todd. And this one is called Epitaph, I believe.
Epiphany.
I'm sorry. Yep, I abbreviated.
That's right.
Epitaph. Yeah. Epiphany.
EpiPen. That's right. It's Epiphany, Len Carew, and a little bit of Angela Lansbury in here. It's the moment. I think it's a pivotal moment in the show. I don't want to give away what happens, of course, but it's the place where Sweeney really has all of the stress, the pressure, and all of the sort of the darkness of his plan. Sort of, he cracks a little bit, and it sets into motion the remainder of the play. And it's a tremendous song. It's a tremendous feat live. I mean, there's power that is required in the voice, and commitment, and a certain rare talent that R. Sweeney, who I'm not announcing at this exact moment, but who you'll hear about very soon, R. Sweeney has, and he's gonna be phenomenal in the role. And this song, I think, gives you a sample of the kind of power that he
excellent,
has.
Excellent, excellent. All right, we'll see you all next time on Conducting Conversations.
Out, I say, out!
This rumbling, shouting, what is it now, dear?
I had him and then.
Oh no, the sailor busted and I saw them both running down the street and I said,
I had him! His soul was there beneath my hand.
Now, dear, don't fret.
No, I had him. His soul was there and he'll never come again.
See, no, hush, love, hush. I keep telling you.
When?
Won't you rush?
Why did I wait? You told me to wait. Now he'll never come again. There's a hole in the world like a great black pit, and it's filled with people who are filled with shit, and the vermin of the world inhabit it. But not for long. They all deserve to die. Tell you why, Mrs. Love, tell you why.
Because in all of the whole human race, Mrs. Lovett, there are two kinds of men and only two. There's the one staying put in his proper place, and the one with his foot in the other one's place. Look at me, Mrs. Lovett, look at you. Though we all deserve to die, tell you why, Mrs. Lovett, tell you why. Because the lives of the wicked should be made brief, for the rest of us death will be a relief. We all deserve to die, and I'll never see Joanna. No, I'll never hug my girl to be finished. All right, you sir, how about a shave? Come and visit your good friend, Sweeney. You, sir, too, sir, welcome to the grave. I will have vengeance. I will have salvation. Who, sir? You, sir? No one's in the chair. Come on, come on! Sweeney's waiting. I want you, readers. You, sir, anybody, gentlemen, now don't be shy. Not one man, no, nor ten men, nor a hundred can assuage me. I will have you. And I will get him back, even as he gloats. In the meantime, I'll practice on less honorable throats. And my Lucy lies in ashes, and I'll never see my girl again. But the work waits. I'm alive at last, and I'm full of joy.
Conducting Conversations was brought to you by Roberts Musical Instruments, using music and the arts to keep your child educated, entertained, and having fun. Roberts Musical Instruments is your key to musical success. Call 823-5459. That's 823-5459.